Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 7, Knowledge of the Absolute, text number 1. Shri Bhagavan Vacha.
Shri Bhagavan Vacha.
Maya Saktamanat Parata.
Maya Saktamanat Parata.
Yogam Yunjan Marashaya.
Yogam Yunjan Marashaya.
Asamcham Samagramam.
Asamcham Samagramam.
Yitagyasasi Tatshinu.
Yitagyasasi Tatshinu.
Shri Bhagavan Vacha.
Shri Bhagavan Vacha.
Maya Saktamanak Parta.
Maya Saktamanak Parta.
Yogam Yunjan Marashaya.
Yogam Yunjan Marashaya.
Asamshayam Samagramam.
Asamshayam Samagramam.
Itagyasasi Tatschinu.
Itagyasasi Tatschinu.
Shri Bhagavan Vacha.
Shri Bhagavan
Vacha. Maya Saktamanakvarta.
Yogam Yunjan Marashaya.
Asamsayam Samagramam.
Samsayam Samagramam.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
The Supreme Lord said,
Mayi,
to me,
Asaktamana,
mind attached,
Partha,
Osanaprita,
Yogam, self-realization,
Yunjan,
practicing. But
Ashraya,
in consciousness of me,
Krishna consciousness,
Asamshayam,
without doubt,
Samagram,
completely,
Mam,
me,
Yata,
how,
Yasasi,
you can know,
Tat,
that.
Shrinu,
try to hear.
Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Now hear, O son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga and full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the nature of Krishna consciousness is fully described. Krishna is full in all opulence. And how he manifests such opulences is described herein. Also four kinds of pious people, of fortunate people who become attached to Krishna, and four of unfortunate people who never take to Krishna are described in this chapter. In the first six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, the living entity has been described as non-material spirit soul who is capable of elevating himself to self-realization by different types of yogas. At the end of the sixth chapter, it is clearly explained that the steady concentration of the mind upon Krishna, or in other words, Krishna consciousness, is the highest form of all yoga. By concentrating one's mind upon Krishna, one is able to know the absolute truth completely, but not otherwise. Impersonal Brahma Jyoti or localized Paramatma realization are not full knowledge of the Absolute Truth because they are partial. Full and scientific knowledge is Krishna, and everything is revealed to the person in Krishna consciousness. In complete Krishna consciousness, one knows that Krishna is the absolute knowledge beyond any doubts. Different types of yogas are only stepping stones on the path of Krishna consciousness. One who takes the Krishna consciousness automatically knows about Brahma Jyoti and Paramatma in full. By the practice of Krishna consciousness yoga, one is able to know everything, namely the absolute truth, the living entities, material nature, and the manifestations with paraphernalia. One should therefore begin yoga practice as directed the last verse of the sixth chapter. Concentration of the mind upon Krishna the Supreme is made possible by prescribed devotional service in nine different forms, of which Shravanam is the first and most important. The Lord therefore says to Arjuna, touch, renew, or hear from me. No one can be a greater authority than Krishna, and therefore by hearing from him, one gains the greatest opportunity to become a perfectly Krishna-conscious person. One has therefore to learn from Krishna directly, or from a pure devotee of Krishna, and not from a non-devotee upstart who is puffed up with academic education. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, this process of understanding Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, is described in the second chapter of the first canto as follows. Shrindvatam svakata Krishna punyashravanam kirtana hridyantakstohi abhidrani vidunoti saritsatam nashta prayeshva vidreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki tadarajas mobhava kamalo vidyastriye cheta eta anavidam sitam satve prasidati evam prasanamanaso bhagavat bhakti yogataha Bhagavatattva vijnana mukta sangasya jayate vidyante hridaya granthi chidyante sarva samshaya shriyante chasya karmani drishte vatmani shure. To hear about Krishna from the Vedic literature or to hear from him directly through the Bhagavad Gita is itself righteous activity, and one who hears about Krishna, Lord Krishna's dwelling in everyone's heart, acts as best wishing friend and purifies the devotee who constantly engages in hearing about him. In this way, the devotee naturally develops his dormant transcendental knowledge. As he hears more about Krishna from the Srimad Bhagavatam and from the devotees, he becomes fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. By the development of devotional service, one becomes free from the modes of ignorance and passion, and thus material lust and avarice should diminish. When these purities are wiped away, the canon remains steady in his position of pure goodness, becomes enlivened by devotional service, and understands the signs of God perfectly. Thus bhakti yoga severs the heart not of material affection, and one comes at once to the stage of a samsham, samagram, understanding of the Supreme Absolute Truth, Personality of Godhead. Therefore, only by hearing from Krishna, from his devotee and Krishna consciousness, can one understand the science of Krishna. So verse again, Maya Saktamanakparta Yogam Yunjanmanashaya Asamsham Samagramam Yatagyasasi Tatschinu. Now hear from me, O son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness to me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. This is the beginning of the middle six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is divided into three different chapters, and first six chapters, as Srila Prabhupada explains here, gives us the means by which we can focus our minds upon Krishna. Generally speaking, people in the material world, especially in Kali Yuga, they're acting according to V-karma. V-karma means actions that should not be done. Therefore, one has to learn regulative activities, regulation according to the scripture, so that gradually we can regain our spiritual intelligence, or any intelligence, but really spiritual intelligence. So that begins with regulated activities, dutiful activities, done according to the scripture. Basically speaking, the scripture tries to regulate our eating, sleeping, mating, defending, so that one can gradually rise up to the platform of coming to understand what goodness is. Goodness means the absence of attachment and aversion. The material world means we hate the fact that Krishna is God because we want to become God. Or we want to become God, and therefore we hate the fact that Krishna is God. And that manifests itself, especially in the modes of ignorance and passion, which cover our consciousness and force us to misidentify ourselves with this body and imagine ourselves to be something other than Krishna's servants. Therefore, by regulated dutiful activities, one can rise up to the platform of goodness, whereby one begins to realize that one is actually a spiritual soul, and that one's real problem in life is one's misidentification with the mind and intelligence and material senses. So that's the process of karma yoga. And then when one comes to the platform of jnana yoga, one forms a devotional conception of life. in the ignorance and passion, we have a materialistic conception of life, that is, thinking ourselves to be happy by sense gratification or by some kind of mental speculation. And the mode of goodness, then one forms a devotional conception of life where one understands that by using my senses and mind in Krishna's service, then I can achieve the highest perfectional stage of transcendental happiness. And as one works like that, then gradually one comes to the spiritual platform of understanding as the modes of ignorance and passion further diminish, and then one becomes able to fix one's mind in trance upon Krishna by thinking about Krishna, by dedicating all one's activities to Krishna, and one comes to the perfect stage. Therefore, in the first six chapters, the different types of yogas that gradually lead one to the platform of Krishna, becoming able to think of Krishna. Steady concentration of the mind upon Krishna is explained. So in this middle six chapters, the process of fixing one's mind upon Krishna will be explained, so that even at the time of death, one can remember Krishna, in other words, not be disturbed by distractions. Basically speaking, we're just trying to be trained up so the mind can be fixed upon Krishna and not be distracted either by so-called good in the material world or so-called evil, but steadily maintaining Krishna consciousness, because there's nothing but Krishna, and Krishna's servants and service to Krishna, although it appears that there are other things going on, especially in Kali Yuga, which is so much dominated by ignorance and passion. It seems very exciting that so many things are happening, but actually it's just ignorance and passion that are happening in Kali Yuga. Just ignorant, foolish people interacting with other ignorant, foolish people, producing ignorant and foolish activities. Therefore, one has to not become bewildered by these things. Just like in the 14th chapter, when Arjuna asked Krishna, he asked three questions. Karalangas chinganan etan etityo bhavati prabho kimachari katams chaitam chinganan antuvartite. He asks, what are the symptoms of one who's transcended the modes of material nature? What are his activities? And how does he transcend the modes? So Krishna's answer, same thing he explains in many different ways. He says, aprakasho pravritti, prakasham cha pravrittim cha moham eva cha pandava advaishti sam pravrittani ne nivrittani kankshati udasi nadvat asi no ganayo na vichalyate gunavartanti itevam yogati shiti nengate sama dukha sukha svasta samalostras makanshana priya priya priyo diras tuya nindatna samstuti Manapamaniyo diyo tuyas tuya mitrari pakshayo savaramba prityagi vanati tax uchite. Got that verse? Found it?
This one.
No.
This is one way.
Apriya priya diras tuya nindatna samstuti.
No, isn't samadukha
sikha svashta? Samula strasmakanshana. Tuya priya priyo diras?
Tuya.
Oh, three, three, three. My dear Arjuna, so Krishna says that the symptoms, which are only internally observable by the person, is prakasham cha pravrittim cha. So even when there's illumination or attachment or delusion when they're present, the person is not disturbed by that, nor longs for them when they're absent, remains undisturbed, knowing that the modes alone are active and that the soul is actually aloof from these things. Of course, one may wonder, what does it mean that the soul is disturbed by illumination? One who doesn't hate illumination when it's present, or attachment, or delusion, or longs for them when we're absent, remains undisturbed, knowing alone that the modes alone are active and that he is aloof from them. In other words, even the so-called illumination or attachment, delusion, one is not upset or bewildered or longing or hankering for anything of the material world. One is simply satisfied by being Krishna consciousness. Whether there's good or evil, whether one is illuminated, whether one is attached or deluded, now these things are external. The real thing is that I'm Krishna's servant, and that in spite of any kind of material difficulties, one goes on with one's, or even favorable circumstances, one goes on with the idea that I'm simply doing this to serve Krishna. One doesn't take credit if one is so-called illuminated, nor does one become bewildered or unhappy if one is not illuminated. One simply humbly goes on with one's service, knowing that one is an instrument for Krishna, and whatever Krishna supplies, that accepts and utilizes for Krishna's service. And the external symptoms are that one is equal in any circumstance. Friends and enemies, gold, silver, mud, dirt, whatever. Krishna has explained this many, many times, that one is not elated or depressed by any kind of material circumstance. So these are observable. That means that the real basis is that one is interested in becoming conscious of Krishna. One is not interested in knowing things about the material world, or it's just for the sake of knowing things about the material world. One is not averse, even if there is so-called knowledge that come, or so-called attachment or bewilderment. One simply goes on with one's service. Then one can remain steady. Just like Krishna says, apuryamana machala pratishtam samudram apa pravishanti advat tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve sashantim apnoti nakama kami. The person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is always being filled but is always still, and alone achieve peace, and not the person who strives to satisfy such desires. So one is full in Krishna consciousness, one who takes pleasure in hearing about Krishna, talking about Krishna, especially remembering Krishna, then the result is that even though other material desires may enter into the mind, one doesn't become bewildered by them or attached to them or trying to get rid of them. One is simply goes on with thinking about Krishna. One is not disturbed by them. So that's a good idea for us when we're chanting Hare Krishna, rather than to worry about our minds, which many times we do. Oh, my mind, where is my mind? Is one should go on with the business of simply asking Krishna, asking Srimati Radharani to engage us in our loving service. So rather worry about where my mind is at, or even necessarily where my senses and body are at, I should worry about how lovingly I'm chanting Hare Krishna, how lovingly I'm asking Krishna and Srimati Radharani to engage me in the loving service. And if they're kind upon me, then they'll give you the intelligence how to chant the holy names more lovingly, more attentively and lovingly, with more intelligence, more and therefore more lovingly. And then I'll forget about all these other thoughts that are coming through my mind, and instead I'll remember Krishna gradually. Krishna's name is then spontaneously his form. Since his form is made out of bliss, unless I'm chanting lovingly, how will I realize Krishna's form? What Krishna's form actually is. And as that loving feelings increase, as remembering Krishna reveals himself more than his associates, their qualities, their activities, all these things will be spontaneously be revealed, but it's all based upon how much love I'm able to put into the chanting. Otherwise, Krishna says, Bhakti mam abhijananti yavanyas chasmi tattvata tato mam tattvato gyatva vishite tad anantaram. One can understand me as I am, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by loving devotional service. And when one is fully absorbed in loving service to Krishna, then one can enter into the mysteries of Krishna's understanding. Bhakti Atvaranya Sakya Hameva Vido Drastum Gyatvam Drastum Drastum Gyatvam Tatvena Praveshtum Cha Parantapa. My dear Arjuna, only by loving devotional service can I be understood as I am standing before you directly, and only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. Therefore, our business is bhakti. If we want to understand Krishna, we have to increase our bhakti. Otherwise, it's not really possible to become Krishna conscious by any other means. It doesn't really matter whether we're successful in our activities or not so successful, but the patience, confidence, and ultimately the enthusiasm that we put into the activities, that will determine whether Krishna reveals himself to us, and therefore we'll be able to think about Krishna. So at the beginning we learn how to perform activities so that we become free from our attachments and aversions. We do our activities dutifully so we don't get caught up in the taking credit for them or becoming attached to the proprietorship over the results of the activity, either gross or subtly. Therefore we form a devotional conception of life, where at every moment our conception of life is devotional. And then we can act in devotion, and we can try to increase our devotion to Krishna in the activity. We can concentrate more on the devotional aspect and not worry so much about what the reactions to my activities are. We won't worry about the past and the future, simply worry how devotional, how absorbed in devotion I am in the particular activity we're doing. Then as we become more absorbed in the devotion, then gradually Krishna reveals himself to us, and our memory of Krishna increases, and therefore we're able to tolerate any kind of auspicious or inauspicious circumstances that we're under. Then one comes to full Krishna consciousness. So, stop there. Any questions? Yes. Well, if it affects your chanting, then it's important. There's no blood coming to your brain, so you can't think of the Hare Krishna mantra. All the blood is down there still in your stomach. You can't stay awake. It's very hard to concentrate on chanting lovingly. Although, even then, there's no material qualification. Even in the midst of the greatest difficulty, one may be able to chant Hare Krishna very lovingly. Even in the midst of overeating, quite a difficulty. But, generally speaking, we can understand that unless I overate for some devotional reason, it may be a symptom that of my material attachment. And that same material attachment will simply be reinforced when I'm reminded by my stomach again. So that same material attachment that forced me to overeat will probably remind me of my stomach. So I can transfer my attention to Krishna and to the chanting rather than to the stomach. That's possible, and then I'll probably, if I do that, I probably will eat less the next time. But Krishna has recommended yukta-hara viharasya yukta-chetas-karmasu yukta-svapna-vibodasya yoga-bhavati-dukaha dat-dyashnatas-tu-yogosti na-chai-kantamanashnata Chaiti Swapna Shila Shat Jagato Naiva Charjana. Devotee doesn't eat too much or eat too little, sleep too much or sleep too little. He was right temperate in his habits of eating, sleeping, recreation, work and recreation, can mitigate the material pains by practicing the yoga system. So material pains sometimes can be a distraction, so we try to avoid too much of a distraction by them. Yes.
It says in Bhagavad Gita that to be tight, whether receiving something auspicious or inauspicious, or in any circumstance, whether it be favorable or unfavorable, we should continue on our service thinking of Krishna. Also, Lord Chaitanya says the first symptom of a Vaishnava is that he gives up unwanted association. So, I was thinking, unwanted association, that's not a very favorable circumstance. So, like myself, you know, I have to deal with non-devotees quite a lot now in university, etc., etc. I know according to Lord Chaitanya, I'm supposed to give that association up. But also there's the philosophy that I should be steady.
Even in
the circumstances which aren't so favorable for Krishna consciousness, I should still be steady.
Yeah.
Seems a bit confusing myself. Like, where on one hand, Lord Chaitanya says the symptom of a Vaishnava is he gives up association of non-devotees.
Well, you shouldn't take the association of non-devotees, even at school. It's not that they tell you that, you know, actually Krishna is not God, and you think, well, this is a university, and they're teaching me something, so I guess they must be right, because they're the professor. Mm-hmm. So you just don't take them, their foolishness seriously. Mm-hmm. You may be there for some economic reason, not to learn about God consciousness at this university. Because actually schools mean they're teaching a philosophy of atheism. Just the fact that they don't deal with God means that they're teaching philosophy, that their philosophy, their conception of life is atheistic. They think that there's something apart from God, therefore they don't teach about God. So we don't accept them. So we don't accept their philosophy, their vision of life. But we may go there to learn something so we can get a job, so we can deal with our economics. But if you go there, if you're going there to learn about atheism, that's not, won't be very good.
The people who are speaking, they have nothing but atheistic conception of their existence and everything they see,
whole
consciousness. So you're hearing and hearing and hearing so much. I know it has an effect.
Yeah, so you have to check your rounds better, read Prabhupada's books, mm-hmm. try and get out of school as quickly as possible. Because it definitely has an effect. But then generally most of the devotees go to school because they want to get a degree so they can get a job, so they can get something to eat, get some prasadam. So that's also a valid reason for a householder. But once you try and get out of it, I mean, one goes to school to learn something technical, just to get a job, really. It was just inherited in the school system that they teach atheism. And if someone tried to teach God consciousness, they'd be thrown out of the school. Yeah, because that's basically just the fact that they say that, you know, for instance, if someone taught about the Norse conception of God, Zeus or whoever it is, Thor, the people say it was all foolishness. But that means that they're making a statement on religion. Because to say that Thor is wrong, that means that they have their own conception of religion, because they're actually dealing with religion. They just deny that they're dealing with religion. Just like we're talking about mathematics, and someone says 2 + 2 = 5, and someone said it's wrong, that means you're dealing in mathematics. So when they say that religion has no place in school, that means they've already reached their own conclusion on atheism. So actually they have religion, it's called atheism. They have a viewpoint of religion, they rejected it because they're atheists. So one has to be aware of that. Basically speaking, university is meant to train people up to become good demons. But because they offer some technology, which actually comes from ultimately everything comes from the Vedas. Therefore, we learn a little skill there, but you know, one has to be aware of the fact that you're dealing with demons who are teaching little other demons, how to become better demons. And if you become a really good demon, they give you a PhD degree or something. Anything else?
Yes.
Not desperation. All my the energy of the Lord, oh Lord, I'm suffering so much. Please make me feel good at least. I ate too much last night, my stomach hurts. I got this water on my foot, please take care of it. No, we have nothing to worry about because we're eternal souls. We have nothing to do with whatever state of our body is. It doesn't make any difference. It's in a good state or bad state, it has nothing to do with us. Our only chant is so we can get Krishna's association in the loving atmosphere of the transcendental platform.
So what's the feeling?
Love.
Well, I don't know.
You have love for everything else, why don't you transfer it to Krishna? We love so many things. We love our body, we love things that make our body feel good. We remember Krishna. We chant more feelingly. We actually hear the holy name. We chant. We concentrate on chanting the holy name. The smallest part is shraddha, which means to give the heart to Krishna and to focus one's attention on Krishna. So we ask Krishna very nicely. I mean, we can chant in so many different ways. We can try it out. Krishna will give us the intelligence, what it means. I mean, we can chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Or we can chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare, or Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So there's many ways of chanting. Try out a few and see what the difference is. So one will help us. Obviously, one will be much more conducive to remembering Krishna and to remember the atmosphere of Vrindavan, where everything is loving feelings towards Krishna and towards Krishna's devotees. So generally it manifests itself, we start remembering some of the pictures or the deities or something in relation to Krishna, and then we're able to enter into the feel the presence of Krishna and his associates and their feelings. And then we can understand what actual love means. Then we'll understand what our love means too. We learn from the residents of Vrindavan, from Krishna and their exchanges, what real love is. But that has to come from focusing our minds upon Krishna. And the more feelingly we chant, asking Krishna and Srimati Radharani to elevate us to that platform, when they see that's what we want, that's what they'll give us. If we want something else, they'll give us something else. If we want that, they'll give us that. Become aware of this, the loving atmosphere of the transcendental platform, of remembrance of Krishna and his associates. So, in the Nectar of Instruction, it says, we should hear, learn the philosophy, get a conception, spiritual conception, and then accept it. Accept what it's being saying. So that's Shravana Dasa, Varana Dasa. And then when we can chant in ecstasy, that's called Smarana Vasta. And there are different stages of progressive Krishna Smarana, known as Smaranam and Dharana Dhyana, Anusmriti and Samadhi. And then when we're completely dissolved in remembrance of Krishna, that's called Sampati Das. And then one can understand one's original Swarup in relation with Krishna, and then one follows a resident to Vrindavan, a particular resident. So for us, we want to come to the platform remembering Krishna when we chant spontaneously, to be able to feel the atmosphere, especially of the pastimes of Krishna as they're going on. So it's that feeling of the atmosphere that Krishna will give us the intelligence how to become sensitive to the loving feelings. Mother Yasoda and Krishna and Krishna Balaram, the swans and the deer, so many things. Yes. And not only that, but if we become sensitive to the fact that not only Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, but this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, we become sensitive to everyone here in relation to Krishna, then we'll, everything we'll remember will also be in Krishna consciousness. It's not only loving and feeling in some, you know, on some remembrance platform, it's also externally too. The loving feeling towards the devotees, feeling towards the innocent, even towards the atheists, avoid them. Learn how to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this mission, in this pastime too. We can't serve Krishna in this pastime, how will we serve him in the spiritual pastime? Therefore, the more we avoid the 10 offenses, the more when we chant Hare Krishna, either Krishna's pastimes is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or his pastimes in Vrindavan, or speaking on the battlefield, Guru Kshetra, all these things will be remembered. It's called Krishna consciousness. So remembrance also means, and first, generally speaking, we have to develop a preliminary understanding that devotional service is beneficial. We should do something. We should dedicate our activities to Krishna. And then we have to form a philosophical conception of life, a devotional conception of life based on philosophy. So we know how to act in such a way as to increase our devotion. And as that philosophical devotional conception of life grows, we become more expert at doing things that will increase our devotion and avoiding things that will impede our devotion, giving up things that are interfering with us, our devotional feelings. And then as we become more absorbed in that, then externally and internally, we can actually understand how to be devotional, both in the chanting and our activities, everything. Then one becomes more and more absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Is that clear? Clearer? Yes.
Something that you would never, I can't give a reference. I remember hearing a long time ago something from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There was certain things that are acceptable for the mind to drift to while chanting. And some of them were like thinking of how to serve the devotees, thinking of how to serve the spiritual master, how to spread the holy name.
Not very.
I've heard some.
Well, you'll have to give me the reference.
But I just wanted to know if you've heard that.
No. Certainly, you mind drifting to those things is better than drifting to other things. But just the fact that I don't know if we really want Krishna standing there and watching our mind drifting somewhere. I mean, if Krishna walks into the room, we decide to space out for a while. You know, we're just sitting there dreaming about, you know, serving Krishna, and he walks into the room. And he says, can you give me, you know, a glass of water? And we say, I'm sorry, I'm too spaced out right now. I'm thinking about how to serve you. Come back tomorrow. I got more time when I'm more attentive.